This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Freako. I'm Megan Aftermat, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Sam, I know you're a big Freako fan. You've seen them live before. Tell me about what it was like to have them here today in the studio and get to sit down and chat with them.
Hey, Megan. It's so good to be here with Freako. I am such a big fan of this band. I saw them at Mercury Lounge a while back with our other FUV faves, OK Cowgirl, and so excited to have them in the studio. Freako released their debut album, Where We've Been, Where We Go from Here, back in February, and they just seem to have so much momentum right now. They've been touring a ton, playing a bunch of festivals, Lollapalooza in Chicago, where they're from. They played Fuji Rock in Japan and Newport Folk Festival in one weekend, and they're here for a couple nights in New York, and I'm so glad that they made it into the studio.
I think something that's really palpable about them is how close they are. I mean, even during the interview, they're such good friends, and they spend so much time together, they finish each other's sentences.
The friendship of this band, I think, is something that really comes through, and the authenticity and the emotion. Like, seeing them play live in the studio, they're having such a good time and really seem to be enjoying themselves up there, and also seem to be genuinely good friends. And throughout our conversation, they really talked about these special moments on tour and how kind of the best part was just hanging out, and the way that that's kind of reflected in their music as they're able to improvise and play off of each other and have these magic moments that have made their way into the record and are sprinkled throughout.
All right, let's get to some music. Sam, what are we going to hear first from Freako?
This is Freako with Where We've Been.
Thank you.
I'm Sam Sumter here at WFUV. So excited to be with Nico and Bailey of Freako today. How is it going, y'all?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're doing great.
God, I'm so glad to hear it. So good to see you back in New York. I caught you at Mercury Lounge, I think last year or earlier this year, and such a great performance. And it's such a privilege to have you guys here ahead of your Brooklyn Steel show to do an intimate set for us. So your album came out back in February, your debut, Where We've Been, Where We Go From Here. I mean, it seems like you've got some awesome momentum. How's it been to have that out in the world?
Yeah, it's been very cool. I mean, we were just working and playing in the Chicago music scene for years, and it's just been amazing going city to city and like seeing every time we come back, seeing more and more people that we remember and like more people come to the shows. Yeah, it's been really cool to see.
It's also a really beautiful feeling, I think, to have those songs tracked and just out in the world, because we've been playing them for a long time, and the process of making the record was a few years at least. And Yeah, so it's a very patient and long process, so to be on the other end of that is I feel like I'm still kind of catching up with it mentally, but it feels really good to have them out in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure. And like now to go and see people singing along at these shows to these songs that you worked so hard on for so long. And it did start and was largely a DIY effort, right? How did that kind of inform like the product?
I think it still informed a lot of like the art direction for this record. How we play live shows, we like to keep it scrappy, and like even when we're playing these big shows, keeping it, you know, all over the place. Sometimes it gets a little too all over the place and it's frustrating, but that's what you get for doing that.
Yeah. Also just like the recording process across the board for us, like starting with the EP and then through the record, like it's been all close friends working on it.
Close friends like letting us record for free in their spaces. And because of that, we were like subject to get booked over, which is totally fair. But so it took a long time to record stuff, but we couldn't have done it without those people.
Yeah. And it definitely like influenced the environment in the studio, too, because it's just like that's how I feel whenever we're going on tour, going to a rehearsal, going to a show, whatever, like just get to go spend time with my friends and the people that I love. And it was exactly the same way in the studio. And I think that definitely informed how it turned out, too, because it's just like a lot of fun and love and like deep emotion, you know, like the ability to explore that because we all trust each other so much.
Yeah. And then that authenticity comes through. It's like something that you really can't fake. And y'all have known each other right since high school. So I imagine obviously the music is impacted by this relationship. But have you found that your friendship has been impacted by the music that you're making, kind of in the reverse?
Yeah, we've definitely just gotten closer and closer. Yeah. It's great because we actually didn't talk in high school, and I knew of Bailey through the music program there, but I wasn't involved there. So it was just cool to see, to have them play after seeing them in high school, just killing it on the drums.
killing it.
Yeah. I feel like because we have to deal with so much music, like you know, all the little practicalities and stuff mm-hmm. too together, like buying locks for the trailers and finances and like
the glamorous part.
Yeah.
I also think like when we first started playing together, Nico was playing bass in my band. It was back in like 2019, yeah. maybe late 2018. Yeah. So we didn't really know each other all that well. So I think that we got to know each other through music. And I think that's such a beautiful thing because you can like connect without really talking, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course it was combined with like us talking and getting to know each other. But I think it you just get to connect in such like a deep emotional way very early on in a relationship.
Yeah,
and I
definitely.
Think, yeah. And I love your songwriting so much. And yeah, I don't know, just like there's always been just this like very deep, deep, deep feeling for me in this. Yeah.
We definitely like are it's more collaborative than ever with like the newest stuff. Even with David Corgan too, mm-hmm. like the newest band member is like, it's definitely like a band now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Awesome. And I read that, you know, throughout the record, there's moments where y'all were actually improvising and those made it on. And those, what did it feel like in the moment to have those, you know, that moment of connection and be so in sync, like the magic that results from that?
I mean, that was where we'd been when we had the yeah. first song on the record is kind of where the producer, when we were doing the studio, was like, it needs to have like a final climax moment. And so we did like the rotation longer at the end, the loud part, and like added the Where We've Been part singing that. And then we're all sobbing and like, like it was definitely like the most, it made me think like, this is like what we want to achieve again. And like we always have a lot of fun, like, but that is definitely the point. That's what I point to in like my musical life. Yeah, that was just like peak. Then we like went on to the roof of the studio and just like celebrated, because that was the one of the few moments where we knew immediately, we were like, that was special, you know.
Yeah, and it's like no matter what, like you gotta keep that take, even if you have to like, you know, jump through a bunch of hoops to mix it, you know.
Yeah, and it was four years. Yeah. It was 4 years of playing to get one moment like that. So it's like, you know, another 4 years and hopefully we can get a moment like that again.
Yeah.
That's what you live for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about that song, that's obviously, it's like not sort of the title track. It's half of the title.
Yeah.
We've got Where We've Been. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, I mean, that story from recording it was super special. That was about the kind of like from when I graduated high school, my 1 year of college, and then dropping out, and then kind of us all meeting each other and becoming a band, it all coming together. It was the culmination of like everything we'd done up to that point as a band lyrically, and then the performance of it with the band members made it like very special.
Throughout the album as well, there's, you know, these parts where you have like the group vocals and you're talking about having your friends in there. And I love that effect because it feels almost, when you're listening to the record, like you're at a show already, you know, like you're singing along like amongst other people. Like, how did this happen? Like, how did you kind of work in your friends and get this kind of choral effect?
Well, you were pushing for group vocals, I think, from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think in that sense, like, because group vocals, I feel like can be used so corny nowadays, mm-hmm. especially in rock music, but like referencing like Talking Heads or like Donny Hathaway Live, like when the whole crowd's singing along for, what is the song?
Beautiful.
That, you just call. You Got a Friend off that record.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd's singing and it's like on the recording, it's nothing more magical than that. But I feel like it was the scene just in Chicago, friends who do music.
And I also think like, particularly in the studio too, I feel like all of us were just kind of singing like in the control room too. And that was sort of a part of it where it's like, let's just like get everybody on there, you know? Because I think it was the band and then Jack, Henry, and Stas and Scott, just like everybody who...
Sophia.
Yeah.
Some members from like Horse Girl and Free Range, who are all the Chicago bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sang. And like, especially now, like they're all the other three... Like, you guys sing so much. We always, I don't even know what we'd call ourselves, but like, just like the really scrappy version, like, of like Fleetwood Mac and that. Like, just like really, like, really, like, downtrodden. Well, we know,
not downtrodden.
I mean, we all sing that. But...
I know what you mean.
Freakwood Mac.
Oh, that's funny. I never even thought about that.
That's funny. I'm so sorry. Puns are all I've got. And then Crashing Through, right, is one of the songs where that's a big part. Do you want to speak to that song?
When I was writing that was actually the main guitar riff in that was like a Ravel string thing that like reversed in Logic. And then I had that for a long time and I took the song to the band and I was like, I have these ideas with it, but like, I don't know what to do. And then we kind of just ended up going like a shoegazy route with it.
Oh, this was so long ago when we were arranging this. When you first brought the song to us, were you using the trem bar for the melody? Because I feel like I kind of remember that moment of like when it happened. You're like, oh, I'm going to play it like this. And it like completely expanded and changed.
Yeah.
That song was so fun too to put together because it's like, it's pretty heavy, you know, but it has that dancey element to it. Because that's just like when Nico first brought it to us, that's what I heard during the verses, you know, that kind of like bouncy feel. And I think it like it gives it this really interesting push and pull and it makes it really fun to play.
Yeah, the drum part's more intricate than you'd think, definitely. Yeah.
This is Freako with Crashing Through. Kind of on the flip side of the dancey, you guys have taken a lot of inspiration from classical composers, which I think is really interesting. What is it about those artists that has informed your music?
I think it's the feeling for me, because I have always loved Chopin's nocturnes. They just have this like really, really deep, beautiful feeling to them. And discovering Chopin was like what got me to start playing piano on my own, because it just like something about it just I was like I need to play this. Not well, but I need to play it.
Well, you can play which one in full?
Nocturne in C sharp minor. Yeah. I've like learned and forgotten and learned and forgotten that piece so many times. I'm in a mode where I need to learn it
again.
You
played it when we were on tour once in that venue that had like a piano. It was like a downstairs, like, I'm not going to name anything. It was, like culty vibe, but there was a piano down there and like.
It was like kind of out of
everybody
tune.
Was, like, oh, hell yeah. This is a, everybody like loves the, everybody loves Chopin. I feel like, I don't know. Everybody's
beautiful.
Heard one of the pieces and like, hell yeah.
Just very beautiful music. Yeah. I feel like it's the feeling and also like on some of the songs on the record, like I would just sit down at the piano and just improvise over it. And I think that kind of like somber feeling that I get from Chopin, I was trying to put into that improvisation.
Very cool. Yeah. And then, you know, speaking of tour, y'all have been going really hard. You're still touring, I think, through the end of this year practically. When I was looking at y'all's schedule, one thing that blew my mind was the fact that within a two-day period, you're playing Fuji Rock in Japan and then playing Newport Folk Festival.
Yeah.
What was that experience like to just like do that turnaround and play both of those festivals so close together?
Definitely the craziest thing that I've ever done in my life. Yeah.
It was wild. Yeah.
Beautiful, though. Fuji Rock was unlike anything we've ever done. It's just the huge crowd and like playing up to a mountain. It was so beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody was really, really nice. And it sounded really good. And yeah, it was really beautiful just like staring out at like rolling green hills. And sonically, it was like nothing I had ever experienced before because like you hit the kick drum and then like 2 seconds later, you hear it bounce back
off of the mountain,
which was crazy. It was very disorienting. Yeah. So you just got to like rely on your monitor mix, you know, but it was really, really cool. And flying back to the US and then playing Newport, I think we were all really delirious, but in a fun way, just kind of walking around and seeing music and playing and like relying a lot on coffee and
it was
great though. You feel very lucky to have had that opportunity.
That was just the thing that like blew my mind. I was like, I feel like it would take me like a week to get through jet lag. And then y'all are out there playing shows.
Yeah, it definitely blew our mind, too, when we saw that. We were like, oh, we can make it work somehow. Because you go back in time when you fly from Japan to the U.S. So you go back like 13 hours, so it's possible, which is crazy.
Yeah, time travel does exist on some level, right?
It's crazy.
I'm sure checking your bags was a very terrifying experience in that case.
With music instruments, as any musician knows.
Yeah, because we were like walking through the airport goodbye. Like, holding all of our stuff and looking really awkward, like dragging it all through the airport. Yeah. But it worked. It worked. Thankfully, it worked.
That time it worked, yeah.
The baggage gods were on your side.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
And you also played Lollapalooza this year. You made your Lolla debut, right? As a Chicago band, how did that feel?
It was very cool to play Lolla. It was an interesting show for us. We played a second show. It was like a smaller show at the fest, and it was like very fun. But it was a very cool thing to be able to play in Millennium Park. And yeah, it's just was so cool to be able to play all those fests in like one little, you know, 2 week pocket.
What have been some of the highlights of tour so far that we haven't touched on beyond the festivals?
We've met English Teacher, a couple members from English Teacher in the UK. We hung out with them in Chicago and last night. And that's just like some of the coolest things to be able to hang out with other bands that we think are like really cool and make cool music. That feels so cool.
Yeah, we were playing some pool with them last night, and that was really fun. Some of my favorite parts of tour are just, like, all of the in-between moments, because I feel like that is what, that's mainly what tour is. Like, playing music is such a small part of it, which is funny. But, like, you drive so much and spend so much time together and kind of act as a unit and get all your meals together and stuff, and just getting to spend time with y'all is always just so special, you know, because it's, like, there's always that, like, pocket of, like, 2 or 3 hours on every drive where it gets really silly and then everybody goes to sleep.
We went to two nights ago we went to Roberta's in Brooklyn.
Oh, that was delicious.
It was delicious.
Nico got a crazy cocktail.
It was like onion infused gin with like fish oil, and I didn't know this when I ordered the drink. She was like, "Do you know what's in that?" And I was like, "Oh." So I got it, and it was interesting. That's it. Yeah.
Sounds like a soup more than a...
Yeah, it was a lot. But that was fun.
That's your highlight.
Yeah.
But I imagine you kind of become such a tight-knit group, almost a family, through experiences like this. And on the family note, y'all both come from musical families, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, who's to say whether that's like nature or nurture, but do you feel like influences from your childhood too? Are there any artists that you listened to growing up that have made their way into your music and into your sound?
So the music for me was my dad and his side of the family were all just like, he was in a local band in like the 80s and like he played tuba sometimes and he was always an aspiring musician. His parents were very staunch Greeks and they didn't go for that. So he never got to do that. So they've been, him and my mom have been very supportive. And yeah, because his guitar that he had when I was growing up was the first one I played. And he loved like The Cure and The Smiths. Mm-hmm. And like Led Zeppelin and Elliott Smith actually got put on when I was younger, and that was probably the first one that was like, oh, this is like specifically like I feel this, like it's great. And the Beatles,
a little tag at the end.
My dad is a fantastic guitar player, and he went to school for music and was a gigging musician for a long time. He would do like wedding gigs and stuff like that, and he is a really big fan of like Pat Metheny and Alan Holdsworth, just kind of like jazz guitar scene. And I think that has definitely influenced like the way that I add guitar on to Freako stuff. And I think mainly tonally, because I cannot play like them at all. Hopefully someday I can like get close in some way. Yeah. But like, yeah, just I think tonally that has definitely influenced me a lot. Just like that kind of chorusy, swimmy feeling, like Jaco Pastorius, the bass tone, like so distinctive. I love that sound so much. But yeah, a lot of influence from my dad's music taste there. And yeah, my sister also has a wonderful voice and is a great musician as well. And I think just her playing with her friends in high school, like got me to want to play. And yeah, just kind of like following her lead, you know. But yeah, I think just like having that environment growing up was just like, made a huge impact on me. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'm so mad my parents didn't play music. I could have been so much cooler.
No, that's cool, man. Very cool.
Thanks. I was fishing for that. The last song you're going to play is Get Numb to It! Exclamation point. Do you want to intro this song for us?
This one, I like did a demo of it in like 2019. And yeah, it became kind of like our like Chicago song. It was the first song that people I feel like started like singing at shows. And then when we got ready to do the record, it had become like full band. Like the energy was like much more there and just like realized. And we're like, we have to put this on the record. Yeah, it's just the most loose, fun one. We always close the shows with it. Yeah.
Yeah, this one was fun for me too, because I heard this song for the first time because Nico had released it already. And it was the demo version, which loved so much. So like when we first started playing this song as a group, like I was just a fan. Mm-hmm. So yeah, very fun song.
I put it off until you pushed to play it. I didn't want to like play it. I didn't think it was worth it, but you pushed it really hard. Yeah. And then we ended up working on it.
I don't remember that, but I stand by that opinion.
That did happen.
And thank God you did.
Yeah, thank God they did.
We've been talking about the record. We've talked a lot about where you've been. So now, where do you go from here?
We've been writing a lot, and we've been much more collaborative, like from the beginning. Like I used to kind of finish a song, a vocal and guitar, and bring it to the band. But now, like, you know, I'll have like an idea kind of, and then we'll all work it out together. And, you know, Bailey's, you're, like, playing on recordings more than ever. In a lot of ways, the best guitarist in the band. I feel like we all have our way that we're all, like, the best at a certain type of guitar playing in the band, which is cool. Because we're all, like, no, you didn't start on guitar.
I can't remember whether or not I started playing ukulele or drums first.
Ukulele, that's funny.
How many instruments do you play? I'm very impressed over here.
Five.
So cool.
Five, well.
I'm counting.
They're the multi-instrumentalist.
So sick.
Yeah, you gotta have it. But much more just like a band record. This last one was that, but I don't know. Getting to tour so much, it just feels like we're like melting more and more. And everybody's singing even more and more. And yeah.
Well, I can't wait to find out. Thanks so much for being here, y'all. Thank you so much, Nico, Bailey.
Thank you for
hanging out. Such a sick set, and hopefully have you back again soon.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so
much.
Y'all. Thanks for having
us. Yeah, y'all rock it. Thank you.
This is Freako with Get Numb to It.
good enough for looming over you when the light bulb burns you out like a flame. You see the face but you can't remember the name. It's a constant stain.
Go performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to ATO Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Nadia Garriga, and Matthew Ellerson. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Simone Yanez and Catherine Sherman. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to new episodes and find your new favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.